Deuteronomy chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs in those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, and thy strangers that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and to serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, when the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would just take from your word and through your Holy Spirit, you would open our understanding and also change our will that we might follow better according to your word and walk closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 29. Moses is preparing the people to go into the land. Verse 1 says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb." Okay, so this is a covenant that God is making with the people. Okay, it's deeper than a contract. It's an agreement that God says, "All right, here are my commandments, and if you keep my commandments, I will bless you." But as we just finished in the chapter before, there were so many curses, we didn't have time to read them all. He says, if you disobey, then you will draw these curses upon yourself. So it's an agreement. It's not the same as when he came to Abraham. He came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and your people shall occupy this land," and so forth. And God said that's going to happen. And it is going to happen because God said it's going to happen. It didn't depend on anything Abraham did. God just said, "I'm going to do this." But this covenant, the covenant that he made here, and it says he also made on Horeb or Mount Sinai when he gave them the Ten Commandments. He made a covenant with the people, but he said, "Keep these things and I will bless you. If you don't keep them, I will curse you and drive you out of the land," and so forth. So it has a two-way component. They have to keep it in order to receive God's blessings. He put both sides in there. And Moses, and also notice that these are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses. This isn't Moses' idea. Okay, Moses didn't just say, "Okay, people, here's what we're going to do." This is what God commanded Moses. Now, Moses has been telling them this, but it's because God told him to. "And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land." Okay. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning as we went by the time in Egypt. God did bring those 10 plagues, didn't he? And those 10 plagues were very carefully designed to make a point. Each one showed that God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that spoke to Moses from the burning bush, the God who said his name was Yahweh, I am that I am, the self-existent one, says, "Egypt, what you've been worshiping are not real gods, and I'm going to show you who the real God is." Egypt always worshiped the Nile. That was just there because everybody else was in drought. Where'd they go? They went to Egypt because Egypt still had the Nile. God said, and they worshiped the Nile not just as a source of water, they worshiped it as a god. You know, that's why the princess came down there to the river to bathe. It was for all the spiritual, you know, she wasn't just to get clean. I'm sure she had indoor plumbing. She was down there to get some spiritual blessing from the God of the Nile and so forth. And God said, "You think the Nile's great? I'll make it stink." And he turns it to blood and makes it stink. They also had a frog that was supposed to be a god, and he flooded them and said, "If you want frogs, you can have frogs till you're sick of them." And they were in their ovens and their beds and on and on. All these plagues showed that God was the true God, not what they had worshipped. And then down to the final plague, which he released them, which is what God said would happen, was the death of the firstborn. And I hadn't really thought of it this way before, but I was thinking this week, okay, one of the main gods of Egypt was Pharaoh, wasn't it? And that's why they were so angry with Pharaoh, because he wasn't able to protect them from this. He was supposed to be a god. He was supposed to be able to control the weather and do all these things. Well, then who was going to be the next Pharaoh? His firstborn son. And God took away even that. He said, "Even your worship of Pharaoh, I'm superior to that. I can take that away too. I can take away the heir to the throne, the one who's supposed to be from the gods," and so forth. So in Egypt, now Moses is reminding the people, said, "Remember what God showed in Egypt. They were important and it happened. You saw it. Your parents saw it. And it happened to Pharaoh. It happened to all his servants. It happened to all the land. It affected the whole country." the great temptations, the testing, the trial that they got, which thine eyes have seen, the signs, those great miracles. They weren't just there for fun. They were there for a purpose, weren't they? They were designed to show who the one true God is, that He's mightier than even what was the mightiest nation on earth at that time, Egypt, and had enslaved the people. Yet, the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Now that's pretty sad. What they saw in Egypt was tremendous, wasn't it? I mean, people say, well, you know, we need to see a miracle. They go flocking around to these revival campaigns, and because somebody said his filling turned to gold, or stuff like that. I mean, these were undeniable signs from God, weren't they? It was incredible, unbelievable. He wiped out this mighty nation. He led them across the wilderness. He parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land, and then He destroyed Pharaoh's army in the same Red Sea. And you've seen all that. But even though you've seen all that, you still don't have a heart to believe it. You still, what do? As soon as they get out, they start crying and complaining because God isn't going to feed them. They say, well, Moses isn't coming back, so make us an idol for us to worship. And they rebel. I mean, that all happened right off, just right away. And He said, even though God has done all these things, He has not given you a heart to perceive and understand it, or eyes to see, or ears to hear, even unto this day. Because they continue to rebel, don't they? They don't have it. Is there any problem with what God did, where the miracle's not big enough to prove He was really God? No, they were big enough. The problem was in the people, wasn't it? In their hearts, in their eyes, in their ears. The problem wasn't with the great miracles God did. The problem was thus people to receive it. Okay. Same thing with the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. We just don't have heart to keep it. Well, this is same theme as in Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Isaiah wrote, and He said, God, and tell this people, hear ye indeed, you hear me, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Have you ever done that? You say, yeah, I looked, but I didn't see. We've done that in traffic. Sometimes, you're sitting there, you're driving along, and you check the mirrors, and you look, and you think everything's fine, and you pull over, and then this big horn honks at you, and you just pulled over in front of a truck. Well, you looked, but you didn't see. Okay, you didn't really perceive what was there. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Okay? This is applied in the New Testament to Jesus Christ and His miracles. He did undeniable miracles too, but the people still didn't believe, did they? Where's the problem? With the miracles? With God? Or with us? It's us. But also notice how can you say, oh God, I'm just so sorry that I just didn't see your miracles and I didn't perceive it and I didn't change my ways. Well, that's not good enough. God hath not given you a heart to perceive, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. Jesus kept saying after His parables, let him that hath ears listen, hear what the Lord is saying. Okay? Where do we get ears that can hear, eyes that can see? Well, what did Jesus tell the churches in Revelation? He said, you're blind. He said, purchase from me eye salve to heal your blindness. The heart that can hear God has to come from God. We need to pray that God will give us hearts to hear, hearts to respond, eyes to see, ears to hear. Romans 11:8 also, according as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. Okay, Paul's referring to it there as well. People don't hear. Why? Because they haven't gotten a new heart from God. But that's not everybody. There are those that do hear and perceive. Okay, remember Caleb. When they went to the land, the 12 spies went in, and 10 of them came out and said, we can't do it. They're too strong and mighty for us. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, we can do this. Numbers 13:30. And Caleb stilled the people. This is after they're having a riot going, Moses, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us all. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Forget, let's figure out how to do this. He said, let's go now. Quick, let's get up there and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well, why is he so different than the other ten? Because his trust is in God. He had a heart to receive, because God said, take it. And so the other people went down there and they looked and they saw the big walls. They saw the giant people and all their weapons, and they said, I can't do that. It's too big and strong for me. We as a people can't do that. We can't do that. Caleb went down there and looked and he saw the same big walls. He saw the same giants there living in the land. He saw their strength. And he looked and said, that's a piece of cake for God. That's the difference in perspective. God can do that. So that's what we do when we look and we go and we study science or something. We look around and say, wow, all these different species and all this kind of stuff. You know, that would have had to take billions and billions of years and on and on and on. And then you look and read the Bible, and the Bible says in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how do you believe that? Well, if you're sitting there thinking, wow, if these things are all happening by accident, it must have taken a long time. Yeah, it takes a long time for the impossible to happen. That's right. It must take a long, long time. But it's kind of like, you know, if you put the roast in the oven on Sunday morning, you forget to turn it on, you have to wait a long, long time for that to get done, right? Okay, it's just not happening anytime. I don't care if you let it sit there for a week. It's not getting cooked, right? You got to turn the oven on. Well, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then you say, piece of cake for God. You say, why did it take that long? Because that's the way God wanted it done. Well, Caleb had that kind of faith. He said, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Well, you know that was exactly right. They are stronger than us. When you look at life and all the problems, you're like, it's too much for me. Can't do it. It's exactly. But was it too much for God? Absolutely not. And then God later in Numbers 14:24 commends him. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He had a different spirit. What was the spirit he had? He trusted in God. He had faith in God. That was the only difference. Verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Okay, he just got through saying, remember the miracles of Egypt? But a lot of these people here are younger, right? They weren't there. They were young. They don't really remember. Well, yeah, mom and dad talked about it, but, you know, we kind of discount all that, and we think everything's new. I don't know why we're always that way, but we think we have to learn all the lessons over again. You know, we don't learn too much from our predecessors. It's like, do you think life is really that different for your parents or grandparents? You know, well, maybe they didn't have indoor plumbing, but that didn't mean they didn't have the same issues you do. But Moses said, okay, I'll get you something a little closer to remember. What about your clothes? Just look at them. You've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You don't have holes in your shoes. Your clothes aren't threadbare. They look just like they did when we started 40 years ago. Now, is that normal? Of course not. Also, for 40 years, you haven't had to provide your own food. You've not eaten bread or drunken wine, grape juice, or strong drink. Why? Because God provided for them. They didn't have to go bake bread. Why? Because they walked out in the morning and picked up manna. They didn't have to go find something to drink because God gave them water from a rock in the wilderness. So forth. He says that the reason he did that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. So what are you willing to trust God for? You willing to trust him for your daily bread? What about for 40 years? You know, you might get by. If you really go out, you might really think, well, you know, okay, I can fast. I heard about this fasting, and I'll skip lunch today, and I'll make it through somehow. If you get really bold, you might fast all day long. But 40 years? You're not going to make it without something for 40 years, are you? But where did they get it? From God every morning. His mercies are new every day. Every morning they had manna. Because if God didn't provide for them, they couldn't say, well, let's go over to Arby's. You know, there was nothing. They were out in the wilderness. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. If God didn't provide it, it wasn't there. And he says, haven't you lived your whole lives? Over the last 40 years, God's been providing for you every day. So why do you doubt him now? He did it to prove that he is the Lord, their God. And when we got here, y'all remember that when we first arrived here in this place, because that's where they've been the whole time, he's been talking, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, remember, came up and attacked them. Also, Og, the king of Bashan. Remember him? He's the guy that had a 9-cubit long bed. I mean, this was a big fella. He was a giant. Amazing. He came out against us to battle. And we won. We smoked them. Here we were, this ragtag band of civilians, and we defeated these great giants and their armies. Why? Because God was proving that He's with you. And we took their land. They attacked us, and we took their land. It's kind of like Israel today. That's why they quit attacking Israel, because every time the Arabs have attacked them, Israel took some more of the land back. That's why they got the Golan Heights. That's how they got Jerusalem. They had the Sinai Peninsula, and they gave that back, and so forth. He said, we gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. It's like, don't you remember? Here they are, right here, their land. Not only did God defeat them, we took their land. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. And then with the whole couple of last chapters we're talking about, here's the blessings if you keep the law, here's the cursings if you don't. He said, okay, here's the words, I've given them to you. God has made a covenant with you, but this is a covenant that depends on your response to it. How you respond depends how God is going to respond. He said, so therefore, keep these words. God is more than abundantly proven that He's capable and that He's willing to keep His part. Let's keep our part of the bargain. Then we'll prosper because we're obeying God. Verse 10. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. Okay, God is still there. He's been leading them in the cloud. And Moses is telling them what God has said. Okay, now you stand before God, just like you stood out before Him at Mount Horeb. Okay, Mount Sinai, you stood before God. And this includes everybody. Your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel. Okay, so there's all the leaders and all the men of Israel. And He didn't leave anybody out. Your little ones, the babies, the children, teenagers, your wives, and the stranger that's in thy camp, from the hewer of wood to the drawer of thy water. Well, that's for these people that come along with Him and wanted to join Him, but they're not descendants of Abraham. They're the ones that have all the lowly jobs. They're the ones that go down to the well and draw water when you want to wash your clothes. They're the ones that go cut the trees for your firewood. They're the strangers, the non-Israelites. But He said, this includes them too. This includes everybody. Leaders, people, wives, children, and the strangers that have joined in with you. That thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God and into this oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. He's saying this is for everybody. Okay, we're all going to enter into this covenant with God. It doesn't exclude anyone at all. That He may establish thee today for a people unto Himself. That He may be unto thee a God, as He has said unto thee, and as He has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Okay? Moses is making this very clear, isn't he? He said, who am I talking to? I'm talking to every single one of you. That's who God is making part of this covenant. And what God are we talking about? We're talking about the God, not just the God that's done all these miracles, it's the same God that called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees to be His special people. He's the God that promised Abraham a seed when Abraham was old and had no child. He promised him that, and He gave him Isaac when he was 100 years old. And Isaac, He gave renewed the promise to Isaac, that Isaac's son Jacob. And then from Jacob to the 12 tribes. And here they are today. That God has come through and established it's a covenant with the God of their forefathers. Neither with you only do I make this covenant in this oath. So He said, okay, He didn't leave anybody out, did He? He said, leaders, people, women, children, strangers, everybody, I'm making this covenant with you. He said, not only you. Like, wow, who else could He be talking to? He just said everybody. He said, I don't make it with just you. This is an oath with, but with Him that standeth here with us today, everybody that's here and hears this, before the Lord our God, and also with Him that is not here with us today. Now this is an all-inclusive covenant, isn't it? It includes everybody that's here and everybody that's not here. Okay, so that's it, right? Isn't that what we did back in school when you did sets? You know, you can have the set, and then the opposite of the set is everything outside the set. Well, that's kind of everything, isn't it? Well, who are these people that aren't here this day? Well, children yet to be born. People who are going to come later and be proselytes and follow Israel. And I believe in a little bit different sense, but it comes down to us today. We're all beneficiaries of this covenant now. We're not in the same covenant. God made this with Israel and the people there. But he's saying this goes on to next generation and the next generation. It's not just the people staying here today. So somebody that shows up tomorrow doesn't count. Or the baby that's born after the next month doesn't count. No, it extends on to them. So it's all exclusive covenant. All inclusive. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wooden stone, silver and gold, which were among them. He says, okay, this covenant includes everybody, but you've seen what's outside, okay, the people that are not following God. And he said, we've come through those nations, right? Because they've come through very pagan nations. They're about to go in a land full of pagan nations. And he said, you saw their idols. Some were made out of wood, some were made out of stone, some were made of silver, some were made out of gold. But you saw that as you came through, and you saw that idolatry. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. He said, this covenant, these commands that God has given, okay? Think of it in summary as the Ten Commandments, okay? Thou shalt know other gods before me, thou shalt make any graven image, thou shalt not keep the Sabbath, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, okay? Think of that, the law, what God has given. He said, this applies to all of you, okay? Now, you've seen the idols, you've seen nations that don't follow that. Okay, we know these nations around. They didn't follow that. They didn't. They did commit murder. They killed their babies and sacrificed to gods. They committed adultery. They'd been in Egypt. They knew of their worship because the golden calf. They went right back. They were having adultery as a problem, and on and on. He said, "No, this applies to everybody. You've seen that, but." He says, we don't want anybody, whether it's just a single man or woman or a whole family or a whole tribe, and turn away from God. Because if you do that and serve other gods besides the one true God, it will be a root that bears gall and wormwood, a root of bitterness, something that's going to be, it's going to cause terrible consequences. And a root just keeps going. Okay. Some of these weeds and stuff are just incredible. What I call them, I don't know what you call them out here. I call them supersized dandelions. Never saw them. You know, in Lubbock, we had dandelions in the yard, and they pop up the one little yellow flower and this and that. But around here, you have those plants that come up, and before you turn around, they're 3-4 feet tall and just cover them. Well, have you ever tried to get rid of that thing? Get your hoe and chop it off, and it comes right back up, doesn't it? Why? Because it's got a root, a big old root that goes way down deep. You really got to dig to get that up. But if you don't get that root out, it's going to pop right back up. And you're never going to get rid of it. You got to get it out by the root. Well, that's what God said. If you turn to other gods, you turn to idols, you turn away from God, it's going to cause a root of bitterness, a root of wormwood and gall that's going to last. It's going to affect future generations. It's going to affect the whole nation. It's going to cause great harm and great damage. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Okay, now that's kind of an odd expression, okay? What he's saying here is that, okay, you've heard, if you're out there and you hear these cursings going on, you've heard the curses. God has said what he's going to do to you if you disobey, hadn't he? He said he will. He said, okay, but you say, eh. I heard that, but that's not true. I'm going to have peace. I don't have to follow God. I've got my own way. I like to meditate. That's my God. Or I like to do this or that. No, I'm going to do my own way, and I'll still have peace. I'm not going to be cursed. I'm not going to have all these problems, even though I walk after the imagination of my own heart. In other words, you made up your own God. Boy, we do that today. We make up our own God left and right. Some people call him Jesus still, but he's not the Jesus of the Bible. Or call him whatever you will, that's not right. you're not going to have peace and prosper and be blessed if you turn aside from the one true God. Even though he said, yeah, well, and then he said, to add drunkenness to thirst. Okay, I'm no expert, but this is the way that hits me. Okay, you're out crossing the desert, you're having problems, you hadn't had before, so you're thirsty. Okay, you got a problem, right? You need something to drink. So you're longing to have, you're thirsty, you got a problem, you're getting dehydrated, you need some good water. Okay, so to fill that need, instead of getting what you really need, which is a glass of water, you need that desperately, that's the only thing really, instead, you go get you some beer. You go get you some liquor and just have at it. I mean, drink yourself drunk. Now, are you better off? You're worse off. Okay? Physically, you're worse off because guess what? That alcohol does not quench your thirst. That alcohol actually makes you lose more water than you drink with it. So you are more dehydrated after drinking the liquor than you were. Okay? You're in worse shape. But now, you've got a thirst. In other words, this man needs God. That's what he needs. That's where our world is. Our world needs God. But instead of turning to God, because you sure see the need in the world, right? We've got 24 hours of news channels showing police shooting people, people shooting police, people getting attacked. We see problems everywhere, right? You think, Mom, what's going on? What's wrong with our world? And people are always, every time I walk by the TV at work, that people are standing there, you know, it's on CNN or something, they're all just standing there shaking their heads going, what's wrong with this world? What's wrong with us? Well, what's wrong with us is we need God. That's what we need. And we have a thirst. We need God and should drive us to God. But if instead of going to God with that, we go to other gods, we go to false gods, the gods we have, that's what the world wants to promise us, is other ways. We want politics to solve our problems. We want a religion that includes everything, allows all things to happen, whatever. What have we done? To fill our thirst, we've turned to drunkenness. Now we've got worse problems, okay, than just thirst. We've turned away and we've tried to hide our real need by covering with that. So instead of believing God, he's decided to follow something else and he's far worse off. Here's the consequences. Verse 20, the Lord will not spare him. Just because he says, I'm at peace, you know, well, that Christianity stuff, that's good for you. I'm glad you're happy in your church, but, you know, I've got my own religion. I've got my own way, and I don't believe that the God I believe in wouldn't send anybody to hell, so he doesn't care if I drink a little much and I cheat a little on my taxes and I do this and that. That's okay. That doesn't really matter. Jesus died on the cross and I'm forgiven of all that stuff. God said, no, you're not going to get away with it. He says, God will not spare him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. In other words, it's like a burning house. You can see it for miles. You'll see the smoke of it. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Well, that's what God said. That's just the only way. I don't care if you think you're going to be at peace and you think your religion is just as good. If you don't obey the one true God, then you're in trouble. And God has given us these curses, not because he hates us, because he wants to warn us of the consequences of our actions. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, and I think that's who everybody that's not here includes, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it. So, when you turn against God, he's going to bring cursings on you, and that's a witness to further generations. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone, okay, sulfur, and salt, and burning, that is not sown, nor bare, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, and the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. He said, here's the picture. God has promised you a land of milk and honey. They've already seen it. They've seen bunches of grapes so big it took two men to carry it. Okay, he said, that's what I'm giving you. But if you turn against me to other gods, you're getting Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, and it also mentions Admah and Zeboam because there were five cities of the plain. God destroyed four of them at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot had hidden in one of them, so he spared that one. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lifeless land. It talks about brimstone. It'd be like sulfur. Okay, I put sulfur in my yard a couple of times a year to kill the chiggers because I just don't like scratching for chiggers. And that's the only thing I found that'll do it. But that's nasty stuff. I mean, can you imagine being in that stuff? It gets all over you and you breathe it and it's just all, but it sure doesn't grow anything. You know, even chiggers can't live in it. So it's bad. That's bad. But that's what God will do to the land. He'll turn it barren. Well, isn't that what's happened? That land flowed with milk and honey. But as they were punished, it's been destroyed. It looks like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now they're starting to try to restore it. But most of that land is still very dry and desolate. And it's there for a witness. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? And God says, you know, God's going to get glorified whatever way. And if you want to follow Him and obey Him, He's going to bless you. And all the people can say, wow, look how God has blessed His people. But when His people are turned away, He wipes them out. He brings disaster upon them. And that way that the nations can look and see and say, what's happened? Why this great anger? Then the men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which have made with them, which He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. So, you're still going to be a witness, but you're going to be a witness in your destruction. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom He had not given unto them. That's the fundamental thing, isn't it? Are we following God? Are we following false gods? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Well, I know the Jews are God's special people and they have a special place. But personally, by the consequences, I'd rather not be a Jew. They have suffered horribly down through history. I think like nobody else has suffered. Now, they're still around. God hadn't forgotten them. There are still Jews. Many of these other nations are just gone. Okay? But it's what God promised. He said, if they'll follow Me, I'll bless them. If not, then you can look and say, that's the reason they suffered so much. And I believe it is, because they disobeyed. You know, I don't think all the blessings and curses for Israel, you can just throw those on the church. No, you can't. But God is God. And if you follow Him, you'll get His blessings. If you don't, you're going to get His curses. It's just true. That's the way God is. Now, people misapply that. There's a bunch of, you know, preachers out there. They're prosperity preachers. And they say, well, if you have faith, you follow God and send me money, you'll have a Learjet and a Rolls Royce too. All right. That's not what God said. Matter of fact, those may not even be blessings. God's true blessings is what you'll get. Whether it's monetary, could be, but mostly not. Mostly spiritual blessings and that. That's what God gives us. And it's still true. And if we disobey, that's not true. Now, does that mean that rich people all are in God's favor? No. You can have lots of money, but like I said, money's not always a blessing. It's probably far more a curse than it is a blessing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring all the curses that are written in this book. There's a lot of curses in this book, and I don't want them on me. And same thing in Revelation says the same thing. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them unto another land as it is this day. Okay. This is right before they're about to step into the promised land. And God has already told them where we're going to be hundreds of years in the future. He says, once you deny, as long as you're following Me, I'm going to bless you. But when you deny Me, I'm going to drive you out of this land and scatter you among the nations. And where are the Jews now? Except for about 6 million of them, they're all driven around the world. And even those have been there only for 50 years or so. Okay, so He did exactly what He said. God is the God of His Word. Then the final verse, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Well, it's true that there's a lot of things about God we don't know or understand. I will freely admit that. And there's lots of, you know, people can have debates and all this about various issues. And, you know, I don't understand it. I believe that there's a Trinity. I believe there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that because the Bible says that. But I can't explain it to you. How God can be one in three persons. I can't explain that. I just believe it. Well, it says the secret things belong to the Lord. There's a lot of secret things. Okay, there's a lot of things. I'm grateful for all the research of creation scientists and the many answers they give to the evolutionary arguments against the Bible. But you know, they don't have all the answers either. There's a lot of things they can't explain. And there's lots of things that we don't know. Because God just didn't tell us everything. We couldn't handle it if He did. But the things that are revealed, okay, what is revealed of God? Well, there's two kinds of revelation. There's general revelation. That is what you can see around you. We can see that this is a big universe. We can see that it's incredible. It's amazing how he's done it. We can look at the animals and they say, wow, somebody really smart must have put this all together. Somebody really cared. But that only takes you so far. Then there's specific revelation, which is this book right here, the Holy Bible. This is what God tells us. We would have no clue where the universe came from if God didn't tell us. But he tells us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, maybe he didn't give us all the details that all the scientists want, but he told us what he wanted us to know. We would have no idea about salvation except for that book. But in that book, it says that the way of salvation is Jesus Christ, that he's the only way of salvation. And you know, you might say that's not fair. What about the people out in the jungles of New Guinea? Well, that's when we've got missionaries out there trying to reach them. What happens to the ones we don't reach? Well, that's in God's hands. I don't know how he deals with all that. He just told us to go throughout the world and spread the gospel and make disciples of every nation, all people. And that's what we need to be busy about doing. So what's revealed, that's for us to do. That's for us to pass on to our children. That's ours. And we know that. We know that God created everything. We know that we're all sinners and we've fallen. We know that we need a Savior, that Christ is the only way to be right with God. And we know that he's going to come back for those that are his and judge those. We know that. Not because we figured it out, because God revealed it. Now, there's a whole lot of questions behind that that I can't answer, because the secret things belong to God. We have to trust him that what he said is what we need to know. And let's just go with that, even if we don't fully understand it. Then that is for us to do and to pass on to the next generation, because that's so important. Because if we don't pass it on to the next generation, how are they going to know? We've got to. I'm grateful for all the people and all the work that's been done to preserve the Bible. Many people have sacrificed their lives for that. Many people have gone all around the world to spread that. I mean, the thing is, it took foreign missionaries to come to us too, didn't it? It took people to go off and go to Europe. And guess what? Most of us probably trace our heritage back to England. When the first Christianity got to England, it wasn't a nice place. Your ancestors, I hate to tell you this, but they were naked pagans running around. And they were awful, okay, until the gospel came. And then the gospel came and changed the land, changed the people. And that's what everybody took missionaries to come into that land to do that. And that's our job today, is we need to spread that, whether it's the neighbor across the street, the kids playing in the park, or whether it's sending missionaries to the far reaches of the earth. That's what's been revealed to us, that we need to go and teach them that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And we may not be able to explain everything, but we know enough to give them a gospel. And we just need to pray that God gives us and gives them hearts that can understand, eyes that can see, and ears that hear. Because if God doesn't give us that, then we just continue on in our old ways. So I feel like there's a real barrier to reaching people for Christ. And I think the main thing we need to do, I mean, we need to go, but first we need to pray that God would give them hearts to believe, eyes to see, and ears to hear.